Hello again. We have someone that's going to come and speak to us really quick. We have a little table set up in the back that we're going to take up a love offering at the end of the service tonight. And it's for Chosen for Life Ministries. We have Kelly here from Chosen for Life Ministries. I'm going to introduce her. After getting her master's in clinical social work, Kelly has worked since 2000 in the field of foster care. Kelly has a strong passion for foster care and for helping foster families get the support they need to be able to foster well. In early 2014, Kelly left her job doing contract therapy for DFACs to begin working as the first staff member for Chosen for Life Ministries. Kelly and her husband, Stephen, have three biological children, Emily, Micah, and Carter. They began as foster parents themselves in March 2015. The family goes to Faith Presbyterian Church, where Stephen is the associate pastor. So we'll do a little reminder at the end of the service that we have the basket back there just to take up a love offering for them. Okay.
So I might see if I can. Do you think I can drag this over? All right. Okay. Sorry. So I was starting with introducing myself, but you've like beat me to that. So I'm like, all right, we're just diving in, skipping all that stuff. I was gonna say, I am a pastor's wife to a pretty awesome husband, and a mom of some, at least three, sometimes five, and right now four, because I'm a foster parent, so that number can change around depending on the day. I did want to start with a scripture from the Word of God, if I could. So it comes from 1 John 4, starting with verse 7 and through verse 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's one of my favorite passages that I really reflect on often. And you know, you might ask me, like, how did you get into foster care? And it really, a lot of it started with that passage. As a senior in high school, I really loved Jesus. I was blessed to be a believer in the Lord from back that time. And I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, right? Everybody's going to college and I'm trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? All I knew is I really loved Jesus. And I believed that he called me to love people. So as I sought the Lord, people kind of pointed me towards social work and said, they help people. That seems like a good way to love people. So that's how kind of the Lord got me there. And from there, I got my graduate degree in clinical social work. And just again, okay, Lord, I've got this degree. What am I supposed to do with it? So the first job that I got was at a Christian faith-based foster care ministry. And that is where God transformed my life and really assured my calling, gave me this passion for serving him specifically through foster care and this ability to see foster care as a real ministry, as an opportunity. It is a broken system with so many things that are hard and wrong. And in that is where I see just mounds of opportunity for the gospel, right? Of entering into that brokenness and trying to bring Jesus. So, like I said, I've worked all my jobs for the last 17 years have had something to do with foster care in a lot of various ways. But about 12 years ago, the Lord started speaking to my heart and just saying, Kelly, I want you to be a part of a multi-church foster care ministry and of creating one, which felt really big and scary, right? I'm like, ooh, like, it's just me, Lord. Like, I don't know who you're talking to. But I tucked it away and I was just kind of like, all right, we'll see. We'll see what the Lord does. We moved here in 2009, around that same time, and a ministry called Chosen for Life was starting, not by me. It was starting by some great folks who had a passion for adoption. And so they were starting this adoption ministry. We moved here that same year. And so I started going to some of their stuff and started saying, hey, the heart of foster care and the heart of what you're doing are so similar. Let's do a foster care ministry. And it just wasn't the Lord's timing. And God is so good in knowing the timing. You know, even when we're excited, he knows when to be like, not yet, not yet. So some years passed, my biological kids got a little older, started to go off to school. And then in 2014, some folks that were real involved in Chosen for Life knew some kids personally that came into foster care. And at that time, they called me and they're like, hey, wait, this suddenly feels really real. And this isn't just like the idea of foster care. These are kids that we know and we love these kids and we want to make sure that they're going to a Christian home. And there are no, you know, there's not many Christian homes in our area. And so what do we do? And so that's when conversations started. And I think so often that's true, is when it feels like this kind of unknown problem, but when it suddenly becomes real to us, then that's when it's like, oh, wait, maybe we should do something about that. And so the Lord started conversations at that time, 2014. We just started praying together and saying, Lord, what do we do? How this foster care issue feels huge, and we don't know what to do about it. You see, at the time, there was 150 kids in foster care, and there's about 20 foster families. That felt insurmountable. That felt like, I'm not good at math, but not good, right? Where are all these kids going? What is happening? And so we started talking about how do we encourage more families to foster. But my heart from seeing foster care at that time for 15 years was that I'd seen so many families start fostering and not be able to do it for very long, because it is a really hard calling. And so I had a real heart and desire to say, let's not just try and get families. We want more families. That's great. But we want to support our families really well. We want to make sure that if anybody's fostering, they're not doing it alone, but that they're doing it with the support of others around them that can help carry this load with them so that they can keep going. So that's kind of the ministry that we started working on in 2014, was trying to figure out how to not just help these kids, but also to help the foster families in general. One thing about foster care that I just don't know how much of it is known, how much you know about foster care, I think about it, but from working again for so long, these kids are not taken lightly into foster care. The kids that come into care are coming from really hard places, you guys, and these are kids right in our community, right around us, that are living lives of a lot of brokenness. And when they come into foster care, because there's not enough foster families, what happens is these kids go to the DFACS office and they sit there while the caseworker starts calling and just starts calling through the list of foster families and saying, will you take them? Will you take them? No. And the families, they start close by, but when everybody's full, nobody will take them, they start calling farther and farther and farther away. So often these kids are placed hours away. So now not only have they been taken from their family, from anybody that they know, even if it's broken, you guys, it's all they know. So it's still very scary to leave that. And now you sit in an office for hours and hours and you're getting the message, you won't let me go home, but clearly nobody wants me. Eventually, these kids are taken hours away, totally away from their community and anything that they know. And all of these things just give me this brokenness to need to do something. So in 2014, when we started the team ministry and started getting involved, again, it was the desire to help families because they would start and take one placement and stop. At that time, about 3 out of 4 families, when I looked at our numbers, would take one placement and then be done. Historically, that's what was happening. And it's a lot just to become a foster parent. So to put all this work into it and then realize, wow, this is hard. I'm not doing that again. Those are high statistics to lose families that quickly. So DFACS was just losing families and not able to gain new ones. In the last 3 years, since we were able to start this team-based ministry, we've been able to partner with over 25 churches just here in Clark and Oconee. We've been able to work with amazing advocates like Erin and women just like her that are serving at their churches to help people in their church just learn about the need and learn how to get involved, to kind of get over that hurdle of like, well, I don't feel called to foster, so I can't do anything. That's our goal, is to say, no, you can. Look, these are these options of what you can do that fits, what fits your skill set, what fits your availability. That's our hope, is to kind of spread that message. And over the last 3 years, we've been able to see over 700 people get trained to be on these care teams, which is awesome. You know, that's the Lord at work calling these people. I'm not that great of a speaker. You guys can see. I could not get 700 people. So for the Lord to bring that many is really, really cool. We've been able to see the numbers of families change for how long they keep going. At this point, we've seen that about 1 in 10 families is only taking one placement and not doing it or taking a break. That's huge. That's huge change. And just real testament to what support can do, you know, when you feel like you're not in it alone. We've seen several times families take really hard placements and they don't end well. Things end with a lot of brokenness and families are hurting and they're sad. But then they say, you know what? Because of this team, I'm going to do this again. That's testimony to the power of God, changing lives, people that would have walked away otherwise. So it's encouraging to see the growth. It's encouraging to see that in the 3 years, we've gone from 12 foster homes to now there's like 60, which is huge, right? That's amazing. In 3 years, that really is glory to God. That is a lot of growth in a short time. But at the same time, something crazy is happening, and the number of kids coming into care is just growing at an unprecedented rate. The last couple of years, Georgia has actually been the number one state in the nation for rapid increase of growth coming into care. The numbers are just insane. It's over 75% increase in the last few years for how many kids are in care. There's well over 300 kids now just in Clark County alone. So our 50 homes is awesome, but it's still falling way short. So I feel this need so passionately. I want to share it with you. I want to share it anytime I get the chance just to share it with people. I think so many Christians really just don't even know how great the need is. But to me, I think, you know, most people hear 300 kids and it feels like this kind of surreal, you can't wrap your brain around it, right? You can't really understand 300 kids. What does that even mean? But to me, I think about kids in foster care, and I think about Randy, and I think about Cardell and Imani, and I think about Kai and Lita, and I think about babies that have lived in my house and been a part of my family, because these are real kids. They're not just, you know, 300. They're not just a number or a statistic. These are real kids whose lives are filled with brokenness and who desperately need Jesus, who desperately, in the midst of all of this brokenness, needs somebody to enter into their lives, whether it's the foster parent or somebody on a care team, to enter into wanting to love them and wanting them to know the hope of Jesus in the midst of the brokenness that they're living in. You see, we've had kids in our home that have been afraid of the world. We've had kids in our home that were literally broken in their bodies because of abuse. We've had kids in our home that would dig in the trash can looking for food because the concept of the fact that there was a pantry filled with food was totally foreign. They never knew to look there. I didn't know that existed. These are real, normal kids that are just in our community. So I want you to hear the need. I want to share the need. But I know that just responding to the need is not what's best. I love Susan Hillis. She's somebody who works in the world of foster care and adoption. And she says, don't respond to the need. Respond to the call. And don't respond to the call. Respond to the one who calls. And so that's where I go back to that verse that we shared in 1 John 4:10. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. And he has sent his son as a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if we love God, we ought also to love one another. I really hope tonight to encourage you to think about the need. I do. But I want you to think more about the call. I want you to think more about how all through Scripture, God calls us to care for others and to love others well. Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, fight for the rights of widows. James 1:27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this, visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained against the world. Matthew 25:40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. God's call is pretty clear all throughout Scripture that we're not called to live the life that the world is trying to tell us that life is about us and about our happiness. We're called to glorify God. We're called to live out of a place of loving others really well. It doesn't start from try harder, do more. It starts from you are more loved than you could imagine. I love that John Piper saying, you're more sinful than you know and more loved than you could imagine. When my kids have something exciting that happens at school, they can't wait to come home and do what? They want to tell me all about it because it was just so great and I need to know. And that's what I pray for my passion for Jesus. I want to just know how much he loves me in a way that it's so real that I just can't wait to tell other people about it. And for me, I've been able to do that through foster care. The 300 kids that I'm telling you about don't just represent 300 kids who desperately need to hear Jesus. They represent hundreds of broken families in our community that desperately need Jesus. These families need Jesus. They need the church. They need us. So I would love for you guys just to join me in praying and praying for these kids and asking the Lord how we can be caring for them and asking what our role might be in caring for them in some way. Join me in praying that no matter what happens in their lives, whether they stay in foster care, whether they're reunited with their families, that no matter what happens, that they would know and understand the love of Jesus. And I'm praying for the foster families. As they are trying to make a difference, as they're trying to answer the call to foster, they're not doing that because they're perfect families. I know I am not. But they're doing it because they know the love of Jesus. And they're desperately wanting to share that love with these kiddos. That's all I have to say. Do you want me to say something about My Name Matters specifically? Okay, so My Name Matters is something that we started a couple years ago. Well, really, just about a year and a half. But anyway, from working in this for so long, I had seen so many kids come into care, and they would, if they came with anything, often they came with nothing, but if they came into foster care with anything, their stuff was normally in a trash bag. As these caseworkers that I'm telling you about are taking these kids out of these situations, the last thing on parents' mind is, let me get a suitcase if they even own one. So it just makes me cringe a little bit. Like, just as a therapist, like, the message these babies are getting is that their stuff is now in trash. So we had a desire, and we have started giving a duffel bag. So it's a nice, good-sized duffel bag, and we personalize it with their name on it, and we give it to every kid when they come into care. We also give them a personalized towel and a pillowcase and a Bible. And through Usborne Books, a book for as long as they last. So and some pajamas through a different ministry. So these sets are growing through different people sharing little bits. But I really love these sets. I really love that we've been able to give out over 100 of them since we started doing it a little over a year ago. That these are just real kids that are coming into care that we're able to just give a little something that says, you're going through a really hard time. And a lot of you don't know what's happening in your life. But this is just a gift to let you know that you matter. And that your name matters. And so I love that it's all personalized. My mom does it, so there's no cost for the personalization. She it's her ministry that she personalizes them for us. So that's what the My Name Matters is. I meant to bring one to show you, and I didn't. Thank you, guys.